This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Throws it up at the buzzer, and it's good. Chris Paul with a prayer.
I don't need Chris Rock and everyone else that's supposed to be Knicks fans sitting on Celebrity Row. Buddy with Chris Paul.
Paul waiting between the legs. Crossover. Pull up three. Hits again.
After he's making circus.
What do you want to see them do?
I want them banned.
You
banned
want what Spidey and Reggie Miller had, right?
Banned?
I want them suspended at least. At the very least, suspended.
This is DCR.
You want it? Let me give it to you properly.
On 98.7. ESPN.
Welcome. The 6 o'clock hour. We've already been rolling for one full hour here. It's DCR with you 5 to 8 a.m. every weekday on 98.7 ESPN. If you want to listen on your smart speaker, it's so easy. I mean, it's idiot-proof, really. Even Rick can do it. Play 98.7 ESPN. That's it. Just play 98.7 ESPN. It's that simple. You, of course, don't have the smart speaker because it terrifies you.
It's listening, Dave.
How about this? You want me to freak you out a little bit before we get to the Yankees goals and hear
please.
From Aaron Judge?
Make me more neurotic. Yeah, please.
So, yeah, this is great. So, Ben's glove broke. He's played so much baseball, the thing just exploded, broke, and we needed a new glove. So, I took him to Dick's for a new glove the other day, and we bought the most expensive one they have in the entire store.
So, you got the ones hanging on the wall that are locked up, right?
Yes.
Those are my favorite gloves.
Excuse me, can you unlock this so he can try it on? Oh, okay. So now they're beating it. They're beating it up. They're abusing this thing. They're smashing it. They're putting it in the steamer, right? So
sounds like a nice afternoon.
Sounds like high school, right? So we get back, and I go online, and all over the place, baseball gloves. Do you need a new glove?
Every time.
I mean, what the hell's happening here?
Dude, every time. I was telling you this the other day,
but
too.
It's not like I was Googling best baseball gloves for...
They heard
for,
you.
They heard me?
Dave, I didn't Google one thing on my phone. We watched the show. I mentioned the actress's name. I go on Instagram. Her account is on my search engine for Instagram. Out of nowhere. Never
they're
heard,
lurking.
I,
they're
I didn't
all, they're
know
always
her
there.
Name until I said it. Boom, it pops up.
Yeah, I don't know. I felt very violated at that moment.
It does. It makes you feel weird when all of a sudden, I mean, you're just talking to your wife or your kids, and all of a sudden...
But I don't even know that we had a conversation in the house.
That's even worse.
I mean, I'm wondering if my credit card information somehow responded back, and all of a sudden now I'm getting these, you know, pop-ups for, baseball gloves here, but order online, 50% discount. Well, what's happening?
No, at a certain point, somebody, you had to say something on your phone or, like, around
one of your
devices.
I don't think I did.
So without saying anything, you guys just knew, like, no, there was no, you didn't verbalize it.
I signed language to him, yeah.
You just like, signed,
you know,
it.
Yeah. I watched the Helen Keller
goods.
Movie, and I was like, you know, I had Marley Matlin coming, and she was like, you know, wiggling away, and then, do you want to go to the store? And he responded with a nod of the head, and we went. That was it. No, I'm sure I mentioned it, but I mean, I don't even know that it was in the house.
Well, you mentioned it was on your phone or something. You mentioned it. So someone was talking about it.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It's freakish. It really is.
What kind of glove did you get? Did you go Rawlings? What kind of glove?
Yeah, the A2K. Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's Wilson.
Wilson. That's what he went with. The 11.5 middle infielder's.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, you like that, huh?
I do like that a lot.
How about this? The guy in the store is trying to sell him a 12.75. I was like,
sorry. Middle infield?
I said,
his mind?
I think that's too big. No, he'll get to everything. I said, I'm pretty confident that's too big. So I texted a buddy of mine who plays baseball, and he's like, no, you get 12.75, 11.5, 11.75 max. That's it.
No, that's ridiculous.
12
get to everything.
Quarters.
It's like that guy, what was that? Was it in Cleveland? Has that big giant glove in center field?
Yes.
You can look like
yeah.
this big giant glove playing the middle infield?
At shortstop, yeah. It'll be like a clown glove. All right, so we've had it all from the Yankees. They had the closed-door meeting. They had the press conference. They've had the meltdowns. They have bringing up Davey Garcia. But Aaron Judge, and I haven't heard this, but the slug is interesting to me. The headline, he hopes that Aaron Boone's fiery ejection ignites this Yankees team. Here he is.
Anytime, you know, Boone gets, you know, pretty fired up, it fires up the team. You know, especially a situation like that. Not getting a chance to challenge. I think that'd really get, you know, anybody fired up. But, you know, over the years, you know, over the past times he's got thrown out, it, you know, ignites this team and, you know, gets us going. So, you know, it's hopefully it does that for us tomorrow.
Why in the world, you're 9-13, you should rely on your manager getting ejected because baseball has a stupid rule about replay to motivate the club, Chris?
That just shows you where this team is at, Dave. And I talked about it weeks ago. You got to question the leadership in the clubhouse. I know people want to say that the Yankees have good leaders on this team. But when you hear something like that come from Aaron Judge, who's supposed to be one of the leaders, saying that anytime Aaron Boone does something like that, it gets everybody going, like that's going to be the catalyst for us to be able to get things back right, that has to be a bit of a concern. And furthermore, I don't know how true that is, that the team gets fired up when they see Aaron Boone get fired up, because that damn sure didn't work in that series against the Rays. Like, they had a closed-door meeting after the first loss, and they proceeded to lose the next two games. Like, I don't know, Dave. I don't know where this team is going to go to find the leadership, to find the motivation to get things turned around, but that's clearly an issue with this club right now. That's something that has to be fixed, too.
Yeah, I mean, this is not a young team. I mean, this isn't a team that should rely on their manager to supply the fire and the energy. Like, yeah, I mean, this is a team that's expected to compete for a World Series. This is a team that, I mean, their core is bent together.
I mean, they're the favorites to win the American League. You shouldn't have to rely on all these extra motivational things that he freaks out, that there's a closed door meeting, that the GM has a meeting with the media, that Aaron Boone loses his mind and now gets ejected, and that's going to motivate you. I mean, be professional. Go out there and win the games you're supposed to win.
Well, when you can't really pitch, the starting pitching is not great, and you can't hit, you're unathletic. I mean, it's this again. I mean, how many times do you want to say it? If this team doesn't hit, if they don't hit home runs, they don't win.
Are they in trouble? The division stinks. It does.
No, it's too early for me to say they're in trouble.
I agree, but no, you had to think about it.
Well, no, the whole league's not hitting. But do you see what have you seen the slash line for Major League Baseball this season so far?
I think it's the lowest we've ever seen.
It's horrendous. It's awful. Nobody's hitting.
But I don't think the Yankees fan is concerned about the Rockies or the Marlins or the Mariners. I think the Yankees fan is concerned, and rightfully so, about the Yankees. And the Yankees are supposed to hit, and they're not. They look lost. And Camden Yards is supposed to be, however bad it is, you're always going to find the magic at the end of the rainbow or the gold at the end of the rainbow, because it's Camden Yards and it's the Orioles, and you can't even find that at this point.
No, Matt Harvey goes out there and gives you six innings of one-run ball and retires at 1.11 straight batters. That's what we got from the Yankees lineup yesterday.
Well, not to take, too, any, not to take anything. Struggling.
What'd you say?
That kills you guys right now. DJ LeMahieu, I mean, him not hitting the way that we're used to seeing him hit kills you guys.
Yeah, he's in a 2-for-20 slump, something like that.
He's the one that sets the table for you guys.
Yeah.
And even he can't hit right now.
Nobody's
hitting. Or he can hit. He hits in the double plays. That's what happens.
Lots of double plays.
Speaking of double plays, here is one Daniel John LeMahieu on hitting into so many double plays so far this season.
Bad at bats at the wrong time. Nothing in particular. I feel like today I expanded a little bit trying to make something happen and ended up costing us.
It cost him in a big way. I mean, that was the beginning of – I mean, there were so many moments last night. You're like, all right, they're going to find their way back, and then they just couldn't. And Baltimore tried with all their might to give that game away last night.
I just don't understand, Dave. I go back to that eighth inning, man. Tanner Scott walks Clint Frazier on four straight pitches. Then DJ LeMahieu works a walk. I just felt like they should have got more mileage out of that inning. That should have been a bigger inning. Like, it just should have. And just – to have it end the way that it did with Aaron Judge being thrown out at third, I still go back to the decision that he made to go from second to third. What was there to be gained in that circumstance where you felt like you had to press the issue? It was absolutely nothing.
I think they're pressing.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you lose your mind and you just play dumb baseball.
Yeah,
that's not smart.
That's not aggressive. That's just stupidity. That's just dumb. Stupid. He knows better than that.
It absolutely was stupid. Let's go to John in Valley Stream. Good morning, John. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you? Just real quick, I'm trying to fall back in love with baseball. And after the other night with Cole and Diego, I fell back in love for a short time. I'm just kind of curious, as professional athletes, you know, I've seen in football when a receiver drops a pass, you know, Brady, Eli, then they'll go right back to the receiver to gain his confidence. And with these pitches, do you guys feel like it's a complacency thing? Like, they know they're going five, so they don't really feel any type of pressure. Like, Garcia, even going back to last year's playoffs, I would have liked to see him win, lose, or draw, I would have liked to see him try and get out of that inning, that bad inning he had against Tampa. And what's your take on that? You know, I love watching guys go, pitchers go into the third round of the lineup.
That's not what they do anymore. They don't do that anymore. Unfortunately, John.
What I'm saying is like. Is that making the starting pitchers that complacent where we're not seeing?
No, it's not. It's not complacent. No, John. It would be the opposite. If you're a starting pitcher going into a game knowing you only have to pitch five innings, you're gonna give everything you can for the five innings. Like if you're only going through a lineup twice, you're not gonna save stuff. Like when you watch Jacob DeGrom pitch, like he'll go first time through the lineup, he'll go fastballs, all fastballs. Second time through the lineup, he'll sprinkle in some sliders. Third time, if he gets in trouble, maybe he throws some changeups. Like if you're only going twice through a lineup, you're letting it hang out.
The tank, right?
Well, you empty the tank, and you don't have to. I mean, you can. I guess the benefit would be if you're only going through a lineup twice, is you don't have to have three really good pitches. You can get away with only having two really good pitches, and then all of a sudden now we got the fancy new word in baseball. We got the lanes for the relievers.
Oh.
Which to a certain degree I understand. But I don't think it's good for baseball. I don't. Like, I hate, it drives me nuts watching the parade of relievers into games. It's not what I come to see. Like, the guys you, like, how many times have we said on this radio station? Like, appointment television. Jacob DeGrom, appointment television. Garrett Cole, appointment television. When Noah Syndergaard pitches, appointment television. Like, that's what, you want to see that. And now we're at a point with baseball, and it starts in the minor leagues that, you're not given that opportunity. Like that, this is, we want you to pitch four or five innings, and then we're going to get right into the bullpen.
And that's it. Two times through the order, and then we're going to go to the pen for 12 or 14 outs.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
People are lined up. Knee deep. They want to have conversation about the Yankees and the concerns and the frustrations and all those things with this baseball team, which has been so disappointing through 22 games so far this season. Let's go to some of the calls, 800-919-3776. And, of course, you can listen on your smart speaker as well. Just say play 98.7 ESPN. Let's go to Hermes in the Bronx. Good morning, Hermes.
Good morning, DCR. It's a pleasure to be on with you guys. First time caller. I really love the show.
Well, welcome aboard, Hermes.
Thank you. Obviously, I want to talk Yankees. It's really, I'm a diehard Yankee fan. Really frustrated with how the team is hitting. Like, you know, obviously the way that Cashman built the team, he kind of was like, we'll put some Play-Doh together with the starting rotation. You know, Tyone will be fine. Cooper will be fine. But I feel like they didn't really, they were way too optimistic with this rotation, honestly. And the hitting is, I mean, I think Michael K was talking about how they're seeing more breaking balls than any other team in, like, the MLB right now, and they are not adjusting to that. I mean, these guys with the high leg kicks, it's not going to work with these breaking balls, especially, like, they're throwing them 0-1, 0-2, and then you see 0-2 fastball right in the middle. They take it for try 3 because they're just waiting on that breaking ball. It's like an unwillingness to adjust to the pitching right now. It's really frustrating me as a Yankees fan personally.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but I mean, this is who the Yankees are, and I mean, you saw it against Cleveland. They win three or four. The games that they won because they hit home runs. And I think we all felt, I mean, there was going to be question marks with the rotation. We didn't know. I mean, Kluber hadn't pitched, Tyone hadn't pitched, Tremont hadn't pitched. We said this before the season started. The offense would have to carry them early on in the season until the staff could figure it out. And unfortunately, outside of Garrett Cole, that hasn't been the case with the starting pitching because the bullpen's been good and they haven't hit.
But
they have not consistently hit.
You can't blame the staff or the rotation of the bullpen for last night. You would expect that if you allow four runs, you're going to beat the Baltimore Orioles with Matt. I mean, no disrespect, and I love Matt Harvey.
Don't say it.
Matt Harvey
on the mound. Don't say it.
Listen, come on. If I would have told, there's no way that you thought that he was going to give you six innings of one run ball. No way.
I knew that was going to happen last night. I said that weeks ago. I knew that was going to happen last night. Just because nothing is going right for the Yankees. Like, the irony that Matt Harvey, the dark knight that used to be with the Mets, would show up again and give you a quality start. I didn't think it was going to be one run ball, but I knew it was going to be a quality start. But I still felt like it was going to be the Yankees would show up eventually, the lineup would show up eventually and score some runs. And they set the stage to do that in the eighth inning, Dave, and they just didn't come through. That's the part that's so annoying as a Yankees fan. Like, it's, they have the talent to be able to get it done, and they're just not executing.
It's gross. It really is. Jordan in Plainview. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Listen every morning. Got the app going. So just want to say great job. Love the show. I've hung out with you guys before, so you guys are great, and the show's great. So I just called. I'm horribly frustrated with the Yankees. I'm 31. I fell asleep in the middle of the game last night. If you're losing me, a 31-year-old, I mean, you're trying to get these younger people to watch the game. It's a joke. The Yankees are extremely frustrating. You know, you listen to Kay and McGregor, they say, oh, and you guys earlier, you know, you say you have to change the approach. You know, you can't always hit home runs or change the approach if you're not scoring runs right now. Well, when do we realize that this is like a precursor for even if they do make the playoffs, which doesn't even look good, it's the same thing. In the playoffs, they try to hit home runs. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's not about the pitching. It's about the hitting. They can't get hits. They don't get timely hits. They don't string together hits. They have to get home runs, either all or nothing. And when do we realize that this is just not going to work? You look at, and I hate to bring this up, but you look at the Mets in 2015, you know, they had that play to the ground ball to first base. Who was it? I forget. You know, the missed throw to first base. But Hosmer,
yeah, Lucas Duda.
Yeah, Duda. But Hosmer was able to score. You put the ball in play, whether it's in regular season games or playoff games, you're going to score runs. You're going to make things happen. Things are going to happen. The Yankees don't even put the ball in play. I fell asleep last night. I watched every game. I love it. It's ridiculous.
Well, no, I mean, they don't play exciting baseball. They don't. I mean, hitting home runs is great, and when they hit home runs, they usually win. But unfortunately, I mean, they're not overly athletic. They don't steal bases. They don't run the bases well. They don't string together hits. They don't play with a lot of passion or fight. Like, you don't have a guy. I think Odor tries to, but
he's been good. I mean, we've defined what they are. They're a great starting pitcher.
But Dave, when you when another one of the Cashman moves, and Odor's had some big hits. But did you ever imagine that when the Yankees took a Yes.
No, I never did.
And that's where they're at right now.
I know.
And I'll tell you what, speaking of falling asleep, that O'Day Ruiz at bat, the at bat where he had the balk.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, was that a painful at bat? I was like, oh, could we just end this? Please just end this at bat, please. Killing me right now.
It went on forever. Oh. Forever. Oh. Ethan in North Caldwell. You're on 98.7, Ethan.
Hey guys, good morning. I just wanted to say first, as a Knicks fan and a Mets fan, I'm loving this bizarre universe of Yankees fans in pain. I just wanted to go back a little bit to what you guys were talking about weird ads. I was driving on the highway one time and I drove past one of those Theragun trucks, you know, those massagers.
Yeah.
For the next week, I was getting Theragun ads on Instagram, on Facebook, everywhere you could find them. I never looked at them. I never thought about it. I never said anything, and I was getting ads for it.
Because Big Brother's always watching.
Exactly. One more quick thing, just, you know, while I got you guys. Everyone's been talking about Julius Randle for most improved, you know, potential MVP, Thibs for coach of the year. Do you think there's any shot Leon Rose is in there for executive of the year?
Ah, man. The moves that he made were, I mean, I guess give him credit for hiring Thibs, but I don't.
But he didn't make any loud moves.
Not making any moves, yeah. Exactly.
Oh, bringing in Derrick Rose is a good move.
You know,
bringing
in Derrick Rose is a good move. I'm not denying that. Right? I mean, it was a good move, but it's not like I don't look at what he did and be like, wow. I mean, Leon Rose went out and made some huge moves. I think the biggest moves he made are the ones he didn't make.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
But they're competent, which is awesome.
Which we haven't been able to say in a long time. That's all we're looking for. Just be competent. Jay in Queens. Good morning, Jay. You're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. I know you're on the Yankees thing, but I just wanted to talk about the Knicks. But first, Dave, yes, it was probably a credit card that got all that information.
So I'm charging. I feel like I'm like Harrison Ford in The Fugitive, though. So I use my credit card, and now on every, like, computer or phone or whatever, now I get pop-up ads for baseball, like gloves and bats and
absolutely
batting gloves and everything?
Yep. Oh. They will. I mean, they do the same thing. They that's how they track if there's anything that they find that doesn't fit into your pattern. So they're always tracking that. So anything that you, any kind of purchase that you make after that, even if it's all the subscriptions and all that kind of stuff, it's just the way it is. Big Brother's watching, but they want your money too. Just real quick on the Knicks, I was upset that they lost, but not too much because they tried to do the best they could to not have Devin Booker kill them in the fourth quarter, and it was Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, and then the Hall of Famer that really did them in at the end. But with Randall not playing as well as he's capable of, for them to still be in that, you know, to still have a shot at the end, I thought it's a testament to where they're at and direction that they're going. So tough loss, but to a good team, and, you know, hopefully we bounce back in the next game. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Well, you as well.
Speaking of Mikal Bridges, I mean, we talked about it at the time of the draft. I mean, he's turned himself into a really good player.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He is.
Would you take him over Kevin Knox in a heartbeat now?
Oh, stop it. Come on. What kind of question is that? I'd take you
over
Kevin
Knox. You went the pick after Knox. You went the pick right after Knox.
Yeah, he's terrific.
Aggravates me a lot.
Well,
and I knew the second they drafted Kevin Knox and he opens up his jacket and he had the Fortnite inside his jacket, I was like, God, son of a...
and every Kentucky guy, right? Like, you almost can't find a Kentucky guy that's not really good at the next level. But the Knicks managed to do that.
Yeah, they did. They did. That speaks to Leon Rose now. And hopefully, I mean, Obi looks like he's coming around a little bit.
Yes.
The fact that they got quickly where they got him, I mean, he's going to be a good player. And... I mean, hopefully the days of, you know, letting Phil Jackson pick Frank because he'd fit the triangle and then firing him and then, you know, that those days are over.
It feels like they have moved on to a competent kind of a situation, right? I mean, I think the Neil Akinas and the Kevin Knoxes of the world, that's going to be, well, remember when they did stuff like this. I'm pretty confident and hopeful that we have moved past that era, an era of Knicks basketball.
And to make it worse too, you had Shai Gilgeous-Alexander go 2 picks after Knox.
I mean, what are you doing? What is the point of this?
I'm just sitting here looking at it.
I remember talking about it.
We
all know it. But what is your rationale behind doing this? Like, to make us feel worse? Do you think that there are people
torture myself
out there saying, boy, Frank Ntilikina was a great pick. Kevin Knox was a great pick.
No, because it amazes me. Because we have conversations and we don't get paid. Like, we get paid to be on the radio, right? We're not getting paid millions of dollars to scout players, have interviews, break down tape. Like, all the things that go into drafting a player. Like, did you see John Lynch, what he said, like how many pro day Zoom calls, how much game tape they've watched? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the amount of preparation that goes into making one of these picks. I know for a fact on this show, we talked about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. We talked about Mikal Bridges. Bridges is a great 3-and-D guy. He's going to be a pro's pro. He may not be an all-star, but he's going to be a really good starter for your team. Like, that's what he'll end up being. And then, what did we hear about Kevin Knox? He's got a bit of a motor issue. Well, if your college coach is telling everyone you got a motor issue, you think all of a sudden Turner Pro is going to help that?
No, it has not. He's been a tremendous draft bust, and Neil Akeen as well.
So if we know that, I guess it speaks to the incompetence.
But I think that's fair. The Knicks have been run incompetently. Adam Gase was incompetent. So sometimes you just know it. You know that the guys that are running this team are not capable of running the organization, and that's what we saw for the Knicks for a very long time.
It's amazing to me. Maybe it's our own fault for giving people too much credit. Like, just assuming that they're qualified to do these jobs. Maybe it's our fault.
I think it's your fault.
I'll take the L.
I blame you entirely. I blame you entirely. So, and I'm not trying to do this to drum up anger or ire from either of you guys. I just think it's interesting that it was so close. We put the poll question up yesterday morning. Does Madison Bumgarner's 7-inning no-hitter count as a true no-hitter to you? 973 people voted. 50.2% say no, not a no-hitter. 49.8% say yes, a no-hitter.
Oh, those people that voted no, not a no-hitter are wrong.
Which are the majority, by the way.
No, because they're wrong. I mean, David Cohen, who actually pitched a perfect game, he said it was a no-hitter. Wilbon, Kornheiser, I mean, you name it. I got receipts, too. I sent RJ audio from PTI. Got Cohen. I mean, everyone's saying it.
Well, that's great. But
wrong.
Of the 973 people that say it was not a no-hitter, more of them say no than yes. So you can have Cohen.
Yeah, but at a certain point, it becomes so arbitrary. Like, the reason why it was said to be 9 innings is because you don't want to be in a situation where a guy pitches, you know, five and a third or 5 2/3, then with no hits, and you got game gets canceled because of rain, and now all of a sudden it's a no-hitter. I get it. I understand. I completely 100% understand that. But now we're in a situation where there are games being played that all the statistics in those games, the win or loss counts. Everything about that game counts. and it's a 7-inning game. That wasn't the case when they initially made the rule. Like, this is a new rule that they made. So you got to adjust, which Major League Baseball consistently doesn't do, and they wonder why they're dying on the vine right now with people and how much they want
to
watch it.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
How do we feel about doing frenzies as we move forward towards the draft on Thursday?
I feel like that's a rhetorical question.
I want your involvement. I'm not just going to come on and say we're doing frenzies. I want to know what you guys feel about maybe a Wednesday frenzy and a Thursday and then a Friday post-draft frenzy. Chris, how do you feel about it?
Dave, I'm never going to turn down the opportunity to have a football frenzy. Never.
Okay. Well, that's like my wife asking me like some kind of – I think you guys all know the question I'm thinking
yeah.
about. How would you like one of those today? No, no, you know what? I'll pass.
I'm all set on that front.
So frenzy.
That's always a yes. Always.
Frenzy and that kind of time with Cass, same level.
Canty and I beg you for frenzies. I mean, we stopped doing it because you just say no. Like, there's
I'm
no reason why we should never.
Saturate the world with a frenzy.
No.
I want you to want it. Don't you enjoy
it,
that time
it
with Cass if you don't get it all the time? Like,
I'm not saying all the time.
When have we ever decided to do a football frenzy where we couldn't get a bank full of calls?
No, that's never happened.
It's never happened.
I'll give it to you
whenever
you want
it. I don't think
you're
in any danger of playing out the frenzy. I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, let me ask you this now. Do you want to do a frenzy in today's show? Would you like to do a frenzy in the 7 o'clock hour?
Well, half the show is already gone. I think we'd have a hard time trying to fit a frenzy in, don't you think?
I don't think so. I think we have a window at 7:15 before Mike Tannenbaum joins us at 7:35 that we could frenzy our faces off.
I like it. I mean, it can't be. It's going to happen. I'm sure it'll be better than CMT or whatever we call it now.
It's just, yeah. I mean, we call it CMT. It's not really CMT, but we'll do that in a few minutes as well. So are we locking that in, 7:15 frenzy today?
How are we just disparaging one of our own features?
Because it's not really one of our own. I mean, it's like observations became, hey, here, look what happened. That's what it should have been called until Rick took it back over last week and he got it back on the rails.
RJ and Santiago are systematically just tearing
apart.
They're
trying to knock us down at the knees. And I don't know whether it's intentional or it's unintentional, but that's clearly what they're attempting to do.
Well, it's because RJ wants to look at us eye to eye. That's the only way he can do it.
Oh, that's not nice.
Yes. Yes. Take that, RJ, trying to stifle me and my creativity.
Stifle you or keep you employed?
I mean, there's a real fine line there.
Yeah.
There's a whole nother week's worth of reads to go through. If you're already
there's here, a real fine line.
If there's 20 more of those baseball clubhouse confidentials to go, imagine where we're going to be. You know, four days from now.
I gotta take Rick's side on this here. I started to do the read. You guys played the sexy music. You pushed me towards doing that in a sexy voice, and Rick doing it.
No, that's 100% your fault. You teed up. Oh, here's Rick's favorite read. It's.
But
laid
I was just going to go through it. You're the one with the.
You don't have to drop your voice about three octaves and get it going. You don't have to do that. You can just proceed as normal.
Yeah, but
not
it's with
sexy
the
music.
Sexy music, I can't.
It's an expectation. And
when
you know how
you
my
hear
mind
that
works.
Music, you get sexy Dave.
Yeah, usually you bring sexy Dave, and then all of a sudden he mentions Buster Only, and my mind goes straight to Buster on the farm, milking cows with the milk teat. They just
wow. All
okay. Right, frenzy 7:15, Mike Tannenbaum 7:35, whatever the hell the CMT has turned itself into at 6:45 in just a couple of moments. Chris, wherever you happen to be, Rockaway, we'll go to you, and I don't care what you have to say. Chris, you're next up. Honestly, Chris, you could talk about whatever it is that you want to talk about at this moment. Good morning.
Yeah, I'll try to get the show back on track. Good morning,
go
guys.
Anywhere you want. Traffic, okay. Bottled water, anywhere. Go ahead. It can't be worse.
Yeah, the question I had is, and again, I'm not trying to be a cynic, but with all the scenarios for the last couple months we've been talking about, Deshaun Watson, Sam, Zach Wilson, all these things, I'm just curious why we have this blind faith in Joe Douglas. I'm not being a cynic. I even looked to a friend. I sent a snippet. During the midpoint of the season, he said Adam Gase is going to be part of the solution. And the only reason this triggered me is yesterday Chris was talking about how bad Adam Gase was as a coach. So I'm just kind of worried about Joe Douglas's judgment. Am I being a cynic? I mean, Sala 100% believes
yes,
him, but what do you guys think? Out of all the scenarios, this seems like the worst scenario for the Jets to be in after all the things we were talking about. So just want to get your thoughts on that.
No, I understand. Listen, you're being a cynic, in my opinion. We have, what's the choice? I mean, I don't think that Joe Douglas has done anything so far to make us not trust him. I mean, I like who he hired as the coach, right? And what do you expect him to say at that moment, at that point in the season, about Adam Gase? Adam Gase was part of the reason why Joe Douglas got the job in the first place. It does him no good to say negative things about Adam Gase midway through the season.
And it does no good to be negative about the Jets right now anyhow. I mean, all you hear from everyone around the league is this is a competent GM. He's a football guy. He's a draft guru. So give him a couple of years to put this thing in place. If he's a disaster, there's going to be more than enough time to destroy him over it. If Zach Wilson stinks, there's going to be more than enough time to destroy him over that pick or that missed pick. But I think for now, my tact would be, you know what? Everyone around the league has a tremendous amount of respect for this guy, and I am going to be positive and optimistic if I'm a Jets fan.
Well, yeah, I understand that, but you're just being positive or optimistic, not based on any evidence you've seen, but just based on things not being able to get worse than they already are.
You know what? I thought the draft last year was pretty good.
The draft was solid, Dave, but I mean, you're talking about the first three picks being guys that were contributors to your team. Like, that's pretty much it. Like, you're saying, okay, we like what we saw from Denzel Mims. We like what we saw from Ashton Davis. Mekhi Becton was a home run. I'm not going to take that away from Joe Douglas. But, I mean, there's still some show and prove from Joe Douglas left to be seen. Like, he's got to do a better – like, he's got to do a great job this draft. And we're going to judge him based on what happens with the second overall pick and then what we ultimately see from Sam Darnold down in Carolina. But I don't think Joe Douglas has proven himself as a general manager.
No, I agree with that. I mean, how could you say he's proven? He's done it for 1 year, right? But all I'm saying is I think that there's reason for optimism surrounding him. There's going to be plenty of time, if he's bad, to destroy him for being
Dave, there's reason for optimism, but Joe Douglas was also the one that said that people that were talking about the season and speculating on what the Jets would be in 2020 were disrespecting his team, and they went on to win a grand total of 2 games. So, I mean, Joe Douglas didn't have to say that. Nobody put a gun to his head.
No,
that was him forecasting what he thought his team would be, and they fell far short of his expectations.
They were awful. You're right. Yeah. But the only thing I would ask you is, do you look at that as Joe Douglas's team, or do you look at that as still kind of the team that he inherited and he's slowly putting
it? It was his team that he inherited, but nobody told him to go out there and start spouting his mouth off about how they're being disrespected before the season starts, especially after you traded your best player. Nobody told him to do that.
Yeah, but I don't really look at that. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I mean, it's coaches do that. I don't know why the GM has to do that, but I mean, it's he had a bad coach. I thought he did well with the Jamal Adams deal. I thought he did well with the Sam Darnold deal. We're going to judge him on what happens with the second pick. If Zach Wilson turns out to be really good, then Joe Douglas is really good
job. He'll win.
If Zach Wilson isn't, then we're going to be right back where we started.
If Zach Wilson stinks, Joe Douglas era will not end well here, and I don't know if he'll ever get another job as a GM in the NFL. That's how important this number two selection is for the Jets.
Yeah, unless of course you're Ryan Pace, and apparently he just let you keep making decisions in Chicago, which makes no sense to me.
None. Dino, I love that name in the Bronx. Dino, you're up next on 98.7.
Yo, what's up, guys? Quick thing. I think you said we need to give Joe Douglas like a couple more years to go.
I didn't say a couple more years. I just said let's give him time.
Said, right?
He's
going to
get a couple more years,
of course, and he should.
Well, hold on. So hold on. So if we go 8-8, is it a win?
Yes.
A win
you can't go 8-8.
No.
But what happened to the 17th game? You can't go 8-8 anymore.
Yes,
if you go 8-9, if you go 9-8, that's a Are you kidding me? If you go from 2-8 or 9 with a rookie quarterback, yes, that's in that division a tremendous win.
Okay, and that's it. But we're not going to go 8-8.
I agree with you, especially since you can't play 16 games and you'll play 17.
Even if you went 7-10, and Zach Wilson if they win, hell, I'll even say if they go 6-11, and Zach Wilson looks like Joe Burrow did before he got hurt, I would like where you were headed.
If I go 4-13 and Zach Wilson looks like Joe Burrow did before he got hurt, I would think that's optimistic and reason for positivity.
And I could imagine.
In year three of your general manager, I think you're going to need more than 4 wins in a 17-game season.
But you have to take into account that
I don't give a damn, Dave. I don't give a damn about a rookie quarterback. You're going to have to win more than 4 games in year three of your general manager in order to have confidence in the direction that he's taking the team. Period. Period.
I think it all depends on how Zach Wilson looks.
And you say okay. year one was not his draft, right? This will be the second draft that he's going to run.
And it wasn't his free agency, too, the first year. I didn't really love the one move I didn't like, too, is the Breshad Perriman move. I didn't think was a good move from the beginning.
I didn't like that either.
Yeah, I didn't like that move.
He's always hurt, and he was just the same last year as well. All right, 800-919-3776. Remember, Frenzy coming your way at 7:15. We're squeezing it right in there between the opening segment and the 7 o'clock hour and Mike Tenenbaum at 7:35. We call it CMT. I don't know that it is CMT, but that's what we call it. And because of that, here you go, CMT.
To cuddle.
Tell you what, Rico. I can chase him down. I'll hold him down for you.
To marry.
I don't want to give up the meat.
Or to trash.
I think I'm emotionally broken.
That is the question.
CMT under a lot of fire, but we're going to do with it what any good leader does. Just ignore it all and power through. Ignore all the negative coming internally from the show about this segment. And we're going to power through.
Listen, this is squarely on your shoulders. If you hit a home run here, credit to you. If you ruin the segment, then that's on you as well.
Well, both could happen in the same, 10-minute span. So we'll see where we go. By the way, 40 years ago today.
40 years ago today.
This is unrelated. I just saw this. The Giants used the second overall pick.
Lawrence Taylor.
That's right.
Yeah, that was a game changer. Do you know that two separate times in my life I dressed up as Lawrence Taylor on Halloween?
Last year and when you were six.
Yeah, I was 9 the first time, and I think I was like 13 the second time.
I was close.
The 9, I think, is okay. The 13, I think, is a little bit strange.
And last year was just creepy.
Yes.
So, talking about the Yankees, they've achieved the trifecta of early season panic. Closed-door meeting, vote of confidence from the GM. That was actually the only event where they won the game after. And last night, the manager being ejected. Yankees lose again. This time to the O's. They're back in last, all by themselves. So, I'll take this approach. Cuddle, marry, or trash the Yankees being in first place in the division by Memorial Day, a little over a month from now.
By Memorial Day. And they're back, what, 4.5 games right now, the Boston Red Sox?
They are currently back.
I think it's 4.5.
4.5.
Yeah. Chris, you go ahead. This is your Yankees team. Why don't you start here?
I am going to cuddle up to that. I haven't seen a lot of evidence that this team is going to get things turned around, but I just think based on the talent alone that they'll have an opportunity to right themselves and take control of this division by that point. So I'm going to cuddle that.
I will concur. I will cuddle it as well, and it's twofold process. A, I think the Yankees get better as we move into the season. They have to. And secondly, and I've said this so many times, I think this division is not good. If this was a better division, I'd say no, but I'll cuddle because of those two factors.
Wow, you guys, such weak takes. I will say I'm going to trash it. I mean, they've given us no reason yet to believe that they're going to turn this thing around.
All right.
I don't know why you're trashing our takes, though. It's our opinions.
Well, because it's not really even an opinion. It's kind of like,
What do you mean it's not an opinion? Our opinion is maybe. That we believe that there's a very good chance they're going to be in first place by Memorial Day.
Well, then you should have married it.
Well, but I don't love it. Why, he shouldn't give me the cuddle option if it's not supposed to be there.
I just thought you were better than that.
No,
I thought you would take a stronger stance.
I am not, by the way, at all. By the way, do you know who's starting for the Orioles tonight? Do you have any idea?
Starting for the Orioles tonight, I'm going to go with, is it Zimmerman tonight?
Yeah, Bruce Zimmerman starting tonight. He brings a 1-2 record in with a 5.34 ERA in his career. He transferred to University of Mount Olive.
Ooh, to pitch. Delicious.
Yeah, well, wonderful. Yeah, the martinis that they serve on campus were sensational. And it is a 5th-round pick of the Atlanta Braves. So there's a little bit about the starter for the Orioles tonight.
It sounds like you just made up a person.
That's my thought. They better score 8 runs tonight.
Mount Olive?
Mount Olive makes a nice pickle, too, by the way.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, Mount Olive makes a nice, nice
That's like in the video pickle. Game when you generate too many years into the future and they make out players. This is what we have. So, Stephen A. Smith said on First Take, when it comes to the Knicks and the Nets, something interesting specifically about KD and Kyrie.
I want to state for the record, whether they admit it or not, that if the New York Knicks are in the playoffs and the Brooklyn Nets don't win the chip, KD, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving will regret the day they pass on becoming a New York Knicks.
Cuddle, marry, or trash Stephen A's assessment?
I'll go first. I'll trash it. I don't think they regret it. I don't think that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving could, especially if Thibs was the coach, would be able to get away with the stuff they get away in Brooklyn, within Brooklyn.
I'm going to agree with that 100%. I will trash. I don't think they wanted to be here. I still don't think they want to be here. Could you imagine the Knicks fans' reaction if Kyrie Irving just vanished and couldn't play for days at a time and they didn't know where he was? He'd be crucified. You can get away with that in Brooklyn, not with the Knicks. I trash the take.
Yeah, I'm going to trash it as well. It's unanimous.
I like that. I like that. All right, the 49ers keeping things pretty tight when it comes to which quarterback they'll take on Thursday at third overall. When it comes to the incumbent quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, Kyle Shanahan had this to say about his future.
Can you say with certainty that Jimmy Garoppolo will be on the roster on Sunday?
I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday, so I can't guarantee who will be on our roster on Sunday.
I might have these words of advice for Jimmy.
Rick, I've been meaning to talk to you about that. You should find yourself a safe house or a relative close by. Lay low for a while because you're probably wanted for murder.
That's a morbid take by Shanahan.
It really is.
Very morbid.
And I listened to a lot of his stuff. And that one really caught my attention.
I mean, he's not wrong, though. You can't guarantee that he's going to be alive on Sunday.
By the way, I just got
to... Yeah, but I mean, with the question, you have to go there? I mean, that's the first thought on your mind?
No, it was a strange take.
I hope everybody's still with us on Sunday.
I hope.
It doesn't sound like it's certain, but...
That's why he's trading draft picks like there's no tomorrow.
That's right. He's trading them away. There is no tomorrow, according to him.
Did you hear... By the way, did you guys hear that? So they were... They broke down. So they have the draft chart as far as points and everything else. Like how much to make a trade. Like if I was going to move
Okay. Value of different points. We get it.
Exactly right. So they said for the Niners to get up from 12 to 3, they gave up the equivalent of a first overall pick.
So as if they moved up to the number one spot? That's how much
they gave up. As if they had the first overall pick, yeah.
Really?
Yep.
That sounds about right. So I'll ask you this. Cuddle, marry, or trash? We've heard a lot about it, but Mac Jones going 3.
Wow.
Well, let me ask you this. We're cuddle marrying or trashing him actually going 3?
Yes.
Or our belief that he should go 3?
That he will go 3.
What will happen on Thursday?
That he will go 3.
And this is really a marry or trash situation. You're either in or you're out.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I'm gonna cuddle it. I'd say 75% to 85%.
See, you're sabotaging the game.
It's so weak.
Last week.
You know, shut up, both of you. All of you. All three.
There's no middle ground. Either you think he's going to get drafted third or not. There's no middle ground.
I think there's a good chance he's going to go 3.
You think they walk halfway up?
You know what? Then eliminate. So can I not cuddle? Am I not allowed to cuddle?
You're right.
You shouldn't be allowed to cuddle with that question, no.
RJ, is that what you're saying? Cuddle is eliminated for this one.
I literally said that. That actually was said.
They said it. It was verbalized.
But I didn't know
Buffalo
that you really
Bill.
Meant it.
Buffalo Bill, untuck your stuff and have a strong statement here, would you please?
So this is marry or trash now is what we're playing?
Yes, please.
All right,
please.
I'll marry it. I believe that he is the third overall selection on Thursday night.
Ooh.
I'll trash it. I think it's a huge swing for the 49ers to move up from 12 to 3. I don't think you make that play for a guy that has the ceiling that Mac Jones has relative to the other quarterbacks that are going to be taken in the first round. So I will trash it. Mac Jones is not going 3.
For the sanctity of my mock draft on Thursday, I'm also trashing it.
I think
they're going to take Trey Lance. I do. I think they're going to take Trey Lance at the third pick.
I don't buy anything Rick is saying today, yesterday. I think it's all one big smoke screen.
It is. Yep. That's what you're doing. You're trying to throw us off the trail. I know what you're doing.
And it might be working. So you might remember a few weeks back, Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield said he saw a UFO. Well, he commented once again.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch. It's real. I saw it. I'm glad the Navy finally confirmed some more pictures. Now everybody doesn't think I'm as crazy. I believe.
This has some Kyrie, what shape is the earth kind of vibe to it. But I'll ask you, cut a marry or trash, the existence of UFOs.
I know Rick is going to marry UFOs.
I'm marrying it.
I know it.
Well, how do you not marry that? You don't believe in UFOs?
I do not. Go ahead. Continue.
No, I'm marrying it. I don't know about the whole Sasquatch thing. I'll marry the UFOs.
I'm trashing it. I do not believe in extraterrestrials. I do not believe in alternate life forms. I will trash the UFO.
Yeah, I'm trashing that as well. And I don't know what's worse, your quarterback seeing ghosts or your quarterback seeing UFOs and Sasquatch.
You make an excellent point.
And what do you mean, by the way, how do you trash it? We've been around for thousands of years. Do we have any confirmation of the UFO?
I think Baker Mayfield just told you.
Yeah,
seen ghosts.
Believe in Mayfield.
I like Baker Mayfield. I like the Browns this year. All right, there you have it. That is an edition of CMT. You think that was a... Here's my question to the three of you, and RJ, you can play as well. Would you cuddle, marry, or trash that edition of CMT? Rick, go ahead.
I would marry Chris and I's version. I would trash yours. You very weak today from you.
I had... You know what?
Nah, I was
no
weak.
Way.
You know what? You
no,
know. Look yourself
no,
in the mirror. Don't point fingers.
Overall, no. I don't want to individually analyze. I want your overall take on CMT. Can you do it without being mean to me? Is that possible?
I've already heard RJ's feelings. Well, I'll marry it. I thought it was great.
You thought it was great. Chris?
I'll cuddle it. I thought it was better.
RJ, you cuddling, marrying, or trashing what we just did?
I would cuddle it. Here's what I think we can do is next week, I think, Dave, you should run point on it.
You want me to run point
yep.
on it?
I want to. Now it's let's pause oh. this moment in time. Let's remember how we feel. And next week we can juxtapose this week and next week.
Now, can I adjust it how I see fit?
You do whatever
can
you
I
want.
Can I Bob Barker the CMT next week?
You run it the old way, the new way. You come
oh.
up with a new way. You do whatever you like.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
this is like the Thursday Open. I'm going to take this and I'm going to run down the field with it. Oh,
do
this
it.
Is great.
I hope it's awful. I hope it's awful.
Why would you think? Because you know what? You're going to go in with a terrible mindset. I know
no,
it already.
I never go in anything with a terrible mindset.
You're gonna, oh, you know, never. You're Mr. Optimistic. You're going to go in with a terrible mindset, and you're going to try to sabotage CMT next week. I will not let you do it.
How dare you. Never
I
would
know,
I do that.
I know how you operate. I know how you operate.
I want you to be great.
I'm going
to
try my best.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.